cricket, lovely cricket. Cricket licked the ball before it reached the wicket.
Well, welcome along to 98 Not Out.
Lovely cricket.
I hope you've had a great week and enjoying the feast of a cricket that's been going on all around the world. Some of it involving England. We'll be updating tonight on England's progress in the second test against India. Charles Dagnall. He'll be joining us from Johannesburg to update us on the Under-19 World Cup. World Cup's non-stop these days. And there's plenty of news home and abroad. Player movements, county movements. Lots of news, lots to get through. And I promise it won't be as rushed as last week. Remember, if you want to get in touch with the show, email radio@phoenixfm.com, title your mail 98 Not Out, and it will get through to me. If you want any comments or suggestions on tonight's show, just go that way. Or you can use social media messaging functions. Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, we're on all of those. Just look for 98 Not Out. And while you're there, make sure you like and follow. And that will come through to me directly. And of course, you're listening to Phoenix FM 98 on the FM dial in the Brentwood and Billericay areas. Via the internet, phoenixfm.com, click on Listen Live. And I keep forgetting to say we're on Mixcloud as well. And of course, remember to shout at your smart speaker to play Phoenix FM. Lots of ways to listen in. And of course, if you're busy, and I appreciate a lot of people are at this time of night, the show will be able to download going to the phoenixfm.com website. And you can listen at your leisure.
So we take a little trip to somebody.
And you can also subscribe to the podcast. It's free wherever you get your podcast from. I know there's a lot of you out there who love a podcast. And if that's not enough, we're on YouTube as well.
In a different style. Man called Jah Thomas in a rubber dub style. Man called Jah Thomas in a different style. Man called Jah Thomas at the change up in style. Man called Jah Thomas in a list.
98 Not Out here till 7 o'clock right here on Phoenix FM. Right, shall we get into it? It's cricket birthdays of the week. Now, it didn't seem to me quite as busy as it normally is, but still we've got a good list of names of people from the cricketing world that are celebrating. We'll start off with Bhuvi Kumar. He's 34. Australia's Darren Lehman, 54. Marlon Samuels, 43. Mitchell Santner, 32. Brad Hogg, 53. Darren Bravo, 35. Staying in the Windies, Fidel Edwards, 42. Keshav Maharaj, 34. Rassi van der Dusen, 35. Aftab Habib, 52. Mohammed Azharuddin. Will be familiar to older listeners. He hits 61. The wonderful Glenn McGrath, 54. Alfonso Thomas, 47. Michael Kasparich, 53. And last but not least, Essex's very own Simon Harmer is 35. And remember, if you want to have your name added to the Cricket Birthdays of the Week list, just email me, radio@phoenixfm.com, and let me know if it's your birthday or someone you know. And tell us how old they are. And if you want, tell us a little bit about them, and we will read it out.
This is Phoenix 98 FM.
Right, let's start with England, shall we? Now, the series with India is level at one apiece after a target of 399 to win the second test proved to be well beyond the tourists last Sunday. One of those moments where I'm sure many of you out there would have got up early expecting yet more Bazball heroics, but it wasn't to be. But guaranteed that if you'd laid in and just thought, oh, I'll catch up later on, you would have missed everything. But not to be, it was all over fairly quickly. Looking to complete a chase that would have broken a host of records, England were bowled out for 292 to lose by 106 runs on a fairly anticlimactic fourth day. England made a great start and they reached 95 for one, but the promoted and new Nighthawk, Rehan Ahmed, was trapped leg before by Akshar Patel to signal a regular fall of wickets. Opener Zach Crawley looked to be England's main hope. What a turnaround that guy's had since in the last 12 months. Absolutely superb. Well batted, mate. He batted for 73 when he was given LBW to Kuldeep Yadav, which was on review. And then from that point, the game started to slip away. Slim hope remained in the shape of Ben Stokes, only for the captain to be run out in a wasteful fashion by a direct hit from Shreyas Iyer. That was a fairly reckless attempt at a run. We didn't need to do that. Plenty of time left, and I'm sure Stokes will be ruining that. But we move on. At that point, with 179 required and only three wickets remaining, India could breathe a bit more easily. Ben Folkes and Tom Hartley delayed India with a stand of 56. Hartley surviving two reviews that would have given Ravi Ashwin his 500th test wicket. Step forward fast bowler Jasprit Bumrah, and he pouched a return catch off Folkes. And when Shoaib Bashar was caught behind off Mukesh Kumar, Ashwin was given another shot at the milestone. But Bumrah uprooted Hartley's off stump to end with three in the innings and nine in the match, leaving Ashwin on 499 wickets going into the third test in Rajkot on February the 15th. Now, England's young spinners are flourishing in India because of Ben Stokes' leadership, says Rehan Ahmed. Despite playing only one test between them before the tour, Ahmed, Tom Hartley and Shoaib Bashir have a combined 26 wickets after just two tests. They have more wickets than India's experienced lineup, despite coming up against some of the best batters in the world on their own or in their own conditions. Ahmed said that shows just how great the team environment is. Remember, he's only 19. Tommy and Bash, you've seen them come in and not be nervous, and that's credit to the team. The environment and the leadership we have, it does make you kind of forget the players you are playing against. We just focus on what we need to do. They, i.e. Stokes and McCullum, just don't care about how bad things can go. It's always about how what's good you can get out of it. So if I bowl four bad balls and then get a wicket, that's better than bowling 16 good balls in a row. Ahmed has eight wickets in the series, with 24-year-old Hartley taking 14, and Bashir, just at the age of 20, has already got four wickets. It's a fantastic performance. It's a team performance, and you can argue about the methods, but it's producing absolutely superb cricket. Questions are around, looking across the various social media outlets and websites this week. Joe Root's form is being questioned. Is Ben Folkes now undroppable? And what about Jack Leach? Where does he go with the emergence of these new spin bowlers? The team are now off to Abu Dhabi for a five-day break with their families. The Telegraph reports most are not taking cricket kit. Dan Lawrence is, because he's playing two franchise matches, which must be a first during an England tour. And as I said, Jack Leach remains doubtful ahead of the third test in Rajkot, which begins on the 15th of February. I'd love to know your thoughts on this. I mean, as always, it's an unorthodox approach to touring. I can't imagine in the days of Gooch, Boycott, etc., would have hopped off to go and have put their feet up and play a bit of golf in the middle of a tour. But this is how England are these days. This is the new dawn. And like it or not, it does seem to be bringing results.
Across Brentwood and Billericay, this is Phoenix FM.
Okay, let's have a bit of music now. This is the Skids and Into the Valley.
This is Phoenix 98 FM.
Yes, indeed, you're listening to Phoenix FM. This is 98 Not Out with me, Darren Mutu. Cricket till 7 o'clock, and then the wonderful John Chubb arrives for an hour of a non-league action. 8 o'clock, Gareth is here with Bumper to Bumper, and then the excellent Madeline Christie's here at 10 with the night shift with excellent country music, old and new, and special guests as well. So don't miss that. Madeline's got a guest in the studio tonight. She's talking to Hannah Blaylock, who's a award-winning country and Americana singer. So don't go anywhere on this horrible Thursday night. Just lock it into Phoenix and you'll be entertained and kept company all the way.
This is Phoenix 98 FM.
Now, I'm sure many of you will have seen that Sir Alistair Nathan Cook has had his portrait unveiled in the pavilion at Lord's. If you've ever had the chance to go in there, you will see that there are some fantastic paintings that hang in that august location. For me, my favourite is the one of Viv Richards, which greets you when you walk in. Absolutely stunning. But I think Cookie's one is fantastic. There's a couple of dodgy ones in there. I won't name which ones, but there are one or two that you sort of think, who did that? And was it a sort of a school project or something? But not the case with Sir Alistair. And I think it really, really captures the essence of the man. He's painted or pictured reclining at the foot of his stairs in his home on his farm, next to a staircase. He's got a staircase that he's had made where all of the banisters are formed from stumps that he has kept down his illustrious career. And he does look very relaxed and very laid back. He is a very laid back, calm person. I don't think I've ever seen him agitated. And that is caught very well by the artist, and it's a great painting. So check it out. I've put it on the 98 Not Out social media, so you can find it there. And if you are lucky to go anywhere near Lourdes and get into the pavilion, it's on the staircase in there. So do take a look.
This is Phoenix 98 FM.
All right, some more cricket news from around the world. Obviously, Southern Hemisphere, because this is not cricket weather, is it? Australia against the West Indies. Now, after the heroics in Brisbane, the West Indies came crashing back down to earth. Australia completed a 3-0 ODI series win over the West Indies with a historic 8-wicket victory in Canberra. The host won with 43 overs and a ball to spare, making it the shortest completed ODI ever played in Australia. Xavier Bartlett took 4 wickets for Australia as West Indies collapsed from 38 for 1 to 86 all out. A proper calypso, that one. Jake Fraser-McGurk with 41 and Josh Inglis, 35 not out, raced to the target inside 7 overs. Australia, who led the series 2-0 going into the third and final ODI, struggled to take early wickets, but it kept West Indies' run scoring quiet with the tourists 38 for 2 midway through the 11th over after KC Carty was dismissed. Alec Athanasi, 32, was the only West Indies player to score more than a dozen runs, with extras 13, outscoring all of the West Indies' other batters as they were dismissed in 24 overs and a ball. Fast bowler Bartlett, aged 25, was making just his second ODI appearance after taking 4 wickets on his debut in the first ODI of the series. He claimed another 4, including the wicket of visiting captain Shai Hope. Spinner Adam Zampa and quickie Lance Morris also took 2 wickets each. Now, Australia's chase of 87 was fast. Openers Inglis and Fraser-McGurk scored Australia's fastest. Scored Australia's fastest team 50 in ODI cricket since 2002 as they put on 67 in the first 5 overs at the Manuka Oval. The 32-over match took just over 3 hours to complete. The two sides will now face each other in a 3-match T20 series, which starts tomorrow in Hobart.
Across Brentwood and Billericay, this is Phoenix FM.
Right, time for my guest this evening, and it's our old friend Charles Dagnall, who's down in South Africa covering the Under-19 World Cup for various people. So I caught up with him, and I wanted to know his thoughts on what he's been seeing.
Well, there's a lot of cricket going on at the moment, and the headlines have been grabbed, probably rightly, by England having a test series against India. But there's lots of other stuff going on. And the one that, to me, seems to be the one that has gone furthest under the radar is the Under-19 World Cup, which is going on down in South Africa. Now, my old mate Charlie Dagnall is down there covering it, so I thought let's get him along and get up to speed with what's been going on. Good to see you, Charlie. How are you?
Yeah, really well. Thank you. Nice to be back. What you actually meant was my good friend Charles Dagnall is doing literally nothing. He's lying on a bed and he'll have 10 minutes to talk to me. And you're right. You're more than right. But I'm only too happy to speak to you again, Moots. And he has gone under the radar, given the amount of cricket that's on. But goodness me, we've seen some seriously good stuff down there.
Absolutely. Now, it just sort of occurred to me that, you know, you look at senior England players, whatever format, and we're not going to get into a format debate, but there are a lot of players that are kind of on the, shall we say, the victory lap of their careers. So That makes me think, well, you know, let's have a look at the conveyor belt and where's the next lot of top stars are going to come from. And this under-19 sort of era of players seems to be throwing up quite a few future stars. I know there's a couple that you picked out. I've just looked at your Twitter feed and seen there's a couple there. But England do seem to be have an embarrassment of riches amongst the youngsters at the moment.
Yes, they do. If only they could have put it into performances and reached the semi-finals. Did they have the talent to make the semi-finals? Absolutely. They just completely stuffed it up against the West Indies, and that's not to denigrate what the West Indies did. They played beautifully. But I think England were too giving of their wickets away, too many soft dismissals, and it was almost of the opinion that, well, if I get out, don't worry, someone else is going to get them, and no one actually did. And that was in the final group game, which meant the Super Sixes, as it turned out, and England were in a pretty tough group, but one that they would have been expected to win, with the West Indies, with South Africa, and with Scotland. And so when you talk about embarrassment of riches, yes, to a certain degree, is the talent there? Goodness me, yeah. I mean, they have got some seriously good players. But did that all necessarily come together, given the format of this tournament? You don't go through in top spot, and then you're asking about net run rates, and you're hoping for a result here and there to potentially go your way. The way that the tournament is sorted out, you know, Australia cruise through their group, they're top of the table. India cruise through theirs, Pakistan cruise through theirs. And when you go into the Super Six stages of the tournament, you're in a really, really good position to make the semi-finals. You've got to do something criminal not to make the semi-finals. And as we have seen, one going on right now, as I talk to you, India are taking on South Africa. But because of England's defeat to the West Indies, that really opened the door for the teams in that group. And South Africa have taken huge advantage of it with a stunning win against Scotland. They then overcame Sri Lanka. And by then, they were already in, England being defeated by Australia. So, yes, they've got an embarrassment of riches, but it didn't necessarily come together, you know, in this comp. But let me tell you, there's one or two that are unbelievably good. And here's a stat for you, Moots. And I'm not big on stats, as well you know, but I thought this was an interesting one. 27% of all the players that have played in the Under-19 World Cup have gone on to represent their countries internationally. That is an alarming percentage. So when I come down here and do the Under-19 World Cup, I'm thinking, well, these are the players that we're going to be seeing for the next decade or so. And that's not to mention those who go on to have good first-class careers, domestic careers, and the rest of it. I would imagine that percentage rises hugely. Most of the lads within the England staff and on many of the countries have already played some form of first-class cricket. So it really is the bedrock of where the talent comes from.
Yeah, it's a good point. This current West Indies revival that's going on, which is welcome to everyone in the cricketing world. But again, yes, you look through that current squad, there's a lot of players there that were at the Under-19 World Cup, even last time round. It's a real breeding ground.
They are, and it's very interesting. We get given, because obviously we come out here and cover the games and stuff, but we don't know really who anyone is. You know, the cricket I cover is, you know, the Vitality Blast or the 100 or the Women's Internationals or whatever it may be. And those who are either playing second team cricket or Pathway Academy cricket, you don't really get to see. So we're learning as we go for a lot of these players. Now, what they do is to give us a little bit of an indication of their character and where they're from and how they like to play their cricket and how they envisage what sort of players inspire them or who do they liken themselves to. They answer all these questionnaires. It's like a double A4 sided sheet of questionnaires, and we get to learn. And so many, and this is interesting, you know, you look at a lot of the West Indies players and a lot of the sort of Zimbabwe players, those from not outside of the big three, a lot of their answers, where do you see yourself? What's your ambition? So, IPL, franchise cricket, want to be a franchise. And very few, I say very few, it is a real mixed bank, but a good portion see their future in franchise cricket. Not necessarily the first thing on the list being their national team. Now, that's no blame on them. That is absolutely a legitimate answer to give. But it is sort of eye-opening when you think, well, the first thing I want to do is represent my country at a senior level. But such is the case with finances in the game and the way that the game is structured, that a lot of lads actually see their future being franchise players. And it was noticeable in a couple of the West Indies batters who do, they look sensational, mates. There's a lad called Jordan Johnson. And he gets to the crease and he looks like there's no trouble and he gives it a good old biff and he makes 20-odd and then gives it away, trying to hit the next one for four and the next one for six, because I imagine that's where he sees his future. So it's kind of sad because it's not for a lack of talent. There's talent on there. There's some good players there. But sadly, you know, we'll do so. But let's, and I'm using the West Indies as an example, but there's obviously lots of other nations that I'm out here. But as regards talent, yeah, plenty of it.
Yeah, it's interesting you mentioned Johnson. We had Rodden Butcher on over Christmas, and he highlighted Johnson, and he also highlighted Shamar Joseph. I don't know what became of him.
Yeah, I can't remember. Yeah, I don't think he'll make it personally. but you, there's a couple of West Indies cricketers. If we're on the topic, Nathan Seeley, left arm spinner, like him, he's got a bit of attitude and a bit of character, and he's a good left arm spinner. Tarry Gedwood, off spinner, is very useful indeed. I thought he's bowled better than his figures say. And Nathan Edwards, little all rounder. He bowls a little bit like Sam Curran in that kind of left-arm swing, but he's accurate, he can bat. And the captain, Stephen Pascal, now he, I expect to be in West Indies colours. I give it maybe 3 or 4 years he's not ready yet, but that kid's got something. He really does. Jewel Andrew, we watched the wicketkeeper score a brilliant 130 against South Africa. Wasn't chanceless, but he took his opportunity and almost took West Indies to victory over them. So yeah, lots to just keep an eye out from the West Indies. But obviously from England, I have to say I was slightly underwhelmed by their seamers. Maybe we didn't get to see the best of them. I like Eddie Jack, big, hulky. I've got, he's built like a wardrobe, this dude. He's from Hampshire. And he really does hit the pitch hard, and he's got some pace, and I liked him, but he didn't bowl in the power play. That's a little sort of asterisk there that I'd like to have seen him bowl in the power play. But for me, the Ben McKinney, the captain, Durham, left-hander, it's like watching Triscothic. It's, seriously good timer of a cricket ball. Again, he gives his wicket away a little bit too softly, but goodness, he's 6'6". He's just got, you know, very simple technique. But the two that really blew my mind were the two spinners. And I think these kids, if you packed these two kids, Moots, off to India tomorrow, they wouldn't do a lot worse than who's out there. And even though the guys out there have done really, really well, I think the talent of these two kids is that good.
They're frighteningly young as well, aren't they?
Oh, they are. Farhan Ahmed, who's Rehan's brother, and he's on the Knox pathway. He's an off spinner, and he is just a beautiful bowler. He bowls, he gives it a rip, he gets his fingers over the ball, he gets an extra bounce, he's got a brilliant arm ball, and he's 16. Yeah. Now, I know we're watching these players within their peer groups, but you just look at a player sometimes and go, yeah, this kid's got it. I'm sorry, you can put him into any situation, and I think he'd deal with it really well. Farhan is one. The other is Taz Ali, the Warwickshire leg spinner. And not only does he rip his leggy and rip his googly, but he is unwaveringly accurate. And for a leg spinner, that is a good, good thing. You think, now and again, you're going to get a full bunger or a half tracker or something. He doesn't bowl many. He really doesn't. I think top batters would pick him, but I think that is something that he will learn to disguise better over the course of time. I fully expect to see both of these kids playing first-class cricket somewhere this year, whether Farhan goes on loan or something goes down the road to Leicester or whatever, if not to use him, and Taz as well. And the other player is, and we didn't get to see a lot of him because there was a few headlines surrounding him in the previous game. Against Zimbabwe, the last one that England played, and that is Hamza Sheikh from Warwickshire. And goodness me, is this player easy on the eye. I mean, he has some lovely languid strokes, effortless timing, and so much time at the crease. you would, you know, he's got time to burn. But he went and picked up the ball from where the popping crease was. He thought it was dead. He picked it up. He gave it to the wicketkeeper, and they appealed for obstruction of the field, and off he went. So it's a good job that that didn't cause many ructions within the cricketing world, did it? Anyway, we move on. But the kid can play. The kid can really play. So plenty to keep an eye on, Moose.
Yeah, and from an Essex point of view, Essex have got three youngsters out there. Yeah. Charlie Allison, Luke Benkenstein, and Noah Fain, who seem to have done okay. They haven't had any
good
shockers from what I've seen so far.
No. I really like Allison. I like them all, to be honest. But I thought that we didn't see the best of Benkenstein. You know, he bowled okay in the first one, but he is a leg spinner that you are going to get some, you know, a mixed bag. You know, he'll bowl you an absolute ripping jaffer, and then you might get a full bunger and a half tracker in the same over kind of thing. So he would, for me, needs to work on his consistency a bit. And we didn't see him at all really with the bat. He didn't perform the way he would have liked. Noah Thain looks good-looking player. Bowls a bit of medium pace. I mean, it's occasional medium pace, I would have thought, to be honest. His batting is his strong suit, but looks very organised at the crease. He's got the game. You know, he hits 360. Predominantly a little bit more through the offside. But again, good head on his shoulders. Essex will be very, very pleased with what they've got coming through with him. But I like Allison. I like Charlie Allison. I think he is a good-looking player. He has played spin really well, got a great slog sweep on him, and he manipulates the field nicely. He's like many of these players coming out of academies now. They've got all the shots. Darren, they've got all of them. They've got the paddles, the sweeps, the reverses, the slog sweeps, the hits over the top. They, you know, they're little tricks that you know, white ball cricket need. They seem to be sort of emanating and being spurted out of the academies with all of these shots. So I think sometimes the England players, I know it sounds ridiculous to say that sometimes you can have too many and you think that you've got to play them all, well, actually you don't. You can just pick and choose the ones that work for you in a particular you know, when the situation calls for it. But yeah, Essex will be very, very pleased. Three there, three from Warwickshire, a couple from Lancashire. I mean, there was another Warwickshire player that I liked called Theo Wiley, who was a seamer, and he bowls left arm spin a bit like Ashley, not built like Ashley Giles. But he used to be a seamer, and then he converted to left-arm spin, took 4-4 against Australia, and he gives it a nudge at the top of the order. But yeah, lots to come through. And I go through all of those players, Darren, and I tell you, I just think, goodness me, I'm sorry, but you've stuffed this up. There is the talent and there is the quality to have potentially won this competition, and I think they will be going home pretty annoyed with themselves.
Yeah. Yes, and it was for, you know, as you say, there were one or two results where they kind of let it slip a little bit, where, you know, if they'd have performed just that little bit more, they would still be there in these in the final stages. Now, we're used to seeing you on foreign shores and in fantastically luxurious hotels. Tell me you've got your bass guitar with you.
I have got my bass guitar with me. It is just situated. It's next to the bar, which given the standard of my playing at this current moment in time, actually is where I might just fill the bath and put it in. But no, it is getting plucked. I usually have an early evening pluck on the bass, where the temperature outside is quite nice, around about 5 or 6 o'clock. I just take it outside and have an hour to myself. I love taking it with me. Because after, you know, you're going through all the cricket and you're travelling all over, and it's been quite an intense period with, I think it was 11 games I did in 14 days and all 50 over cricket. And it was brilliant. Absolutely loved it, with travel in between. But now and again, you just need a minute, like anybody does. You just need a minute. And what better thing to play bad notes or the wrong notes, as is my wont on my bass. So, yes, it's there. And it's sort of begging people, it's asking me, it's looking at me now, just going, come on, do you fancy an hour? But I've got to watch the cricket. So maybe I.
it's a sad week for bass players around the world because we've lost Aston Famuyiwan Barrett, who was the bass player of the Wailers. Interesting stat with him, 43 children?
I mean, things seem to work in that department. But I'm very pleased to say that that's where we differ. Just the one for me.
Yeah, it's very sad news. I think if anyone that's listened to this doesn't know who he is, if you just think of any Bob Marley track, any of them, it would be Family Man playing the bass on his Fender Jazz, I think was his preferred axe, wasn't it?
It was, and that is what I have. But trust me, the sounds that emanate from mine are not the same as Family Man's bass at all, categorically.
All right. Where are you off to next after you finish this competition?
Get home, and then we shall wait and see. Not sure what's going on as yet, but fingers crossed there will be another trip in the offing very, very soon indeed. But I'll be keeping across everything that's going on. Obviously, the WPL is coming up, and England women have got a trip to New Zealand. They've got some one days and 20s over in New Zealand, so I'll be keeping across that. And soon after that, there'll be the 100 draft and all of those sort of things. So yes, lots to look forward to.
Yeah, and a men's World Cup out in the West Indies and the United States as well. Charlie, great to see you.
I don't think I'm going to be on that trip, mate. I would like to, but I don't think they're going to select me for that one.
I'll put a word in. Okay. Charles Dagnall from South Africa. Brilliant to talk, and we'll catch up soon.
Will do. Cheers, mates.
The February issue of the Cricketer magazine is out now. We have a full preview of England men's test series in India with George De Bell, Jonathan Trott, Graham Fowler, Vic Marks and Mike Selby. Nick Friend looks at the relentlessness of today's domestic schedule and talks to modern cricketers who find it unsustainable. We also have David Gower reviewing England's one-day matches in the Caribbean before Christmas, and the former West Indies fast bowler Colin Croft comes off his long run to explain why West Indies players take the franchise buck. That's in the February issue of the Cricketer magazine, out now.
Thanks to Charles Dagnall for a great interview.
What's the next song?
And always wonderful to catch up. And interesting stuff about the under-19s England side. And quite a few players to watch and put on your radar. Let's have some music. This is Janet Jackson featuring Q-Tip and Joni Mitchell. Got Till It's Gone. It's 6:45 on Phoenix FM.
Don't always seem to go, but you don't know what you've got till it's gone. Yeah. Let me just fuck with it for a minute.
You don't know what you want till it's gone.
Now you realizing when them nights go long, right? It ain't for me to say when you know that I'm gone, right? You act all wild when I tell you to settle. I was working around the clock with your girls on the metal. Talk about I heard you swims with this chick on the beach. That was out with the tie, but my love you impeach. Now you looking at the walls, head and hand cold jonesing. Ringing my house, hanging up and imposing. Now why you wanna go and do that, love, huh? Now why you wanna go and do that, huh? Now why you wanna go and do that, love, huh? Now why you wanna go and do that, huh? Now why you wanna go and do that, love, huh? Now why you wanna go and do that, huh? Now why you wanna go and do that, love, huh? Now why you wanna go and do that,
Don't always seem to go, but you don't know what you've got till it's gone. Yeah, yeah. Don't always seem to go, but you don't know what you've
never
got
ever
till
realize.
Don't always seem to go, but you don't know what you've got till it's gone.
Man, look at you. Joni Mitchell never lies,
But you don't know what you've got till it's gone.
Yo, do you feel that?
You don't know what you've got till it's gone. You don't know what you've got till it's gone.
Phoenix FM.
Janet Jackson featuring Q-Tip and Joni Mitchell. Did you see Joni Mitchell at the Grammys last weekend? She's 80 years old and performed at the awards ceremony. And it's just, class is permanent, that's all I'd say. And all of you that play a bit of cricket will know exactly what I am talking about.
This is Phoenix 98 FM.
You're listening to Phoenix FM. This is 98 Not Out with me, Darren Mutu. Cricket every Thursday night between 6 and 7. And back to the cricket. The SA20 is reaching its climax. And a particular interest to this show, there was a Player of the Match award for Chelmsford Cricket Club and Essex Cricket Club's very own Sam Cook, who returned figures of 4 for 24 off 3 overs and 5 balls as Parle Royals were bowled out for 138 against the Joburg Super Kings, sounds like a cigarette, who ran home easy winners by 9 wickets. The final against the Sunrisers Eastern Cape is on Saturday at 3:30 p.m. and you can watch that on Sky Sports Cricket. Now, around the counties, slight rant to start off with, but I'm just joining a chorus of Annie Chave and the Grumbler and various other people. If you like county cricket, it's now more important than ever that you become a member of the county that you support. Even if you can't get to every game, it's crucial so that you can have a say in the future of the game by being able to vote at AGMs and having a meaningful voice at your particular club, and to fend off the growing threat to domestic Red Bull cricket, for example, from franchise cricket, and just the general eroding of the county structure. Take part. Don't moan about it from afar. Be involved. Become a member. Support your local club. Now, staying with the counties and why it's important to become a member, Yorkshire members have approved a controversial takeover of the cash-strapped club by a consortium led by former chairman Colin Graves. It means that the 76-year-old, who was chair of Yorkshire from 2012 to 2015, is set to return to the role. Graves' time at Yorkshire was part of the period for which the club was fined for failing to address the systemic use of discriminatory or racist language. The deal now needs approval from the Financial Conduct Authority. A special resolution was at a heated extraordinary Yorkshire General meeting on Friday was passed with 746 votes in favour, 88% of all of the votes cast. Do the maths. 88% was just 746. That's why you need to be a member. If you find these things distasteful or you don't agree with them, if they'd had more members that were more vocal, maybe there was it could have been a slightly different outcome. Anyway, three associates of Graves, Philip Hodgson, Sanjay Patel and Sanjeev Gandhi, are all also set to be appointed to the board as non-executive directors. Now, subject to approval by the FCA in the next fortnight, a second tranche of personal unsecured loans of £1 million from Graves will be advanced to the club. Members have been told that the new non-exec directors will then work with the board to arrange further funding of up to £4 million over a five-month period. With almost £15 million owed to the Graves Family Trust and a host of other potential investors no longer at the table, the board said last month it was recommending the loan offer from Graves, having exhausted all other options in its search for refinancing to avoid entering administration. Now, more grim news coming out of Middlesex. They've suffered a major blow ahead of the new season, with main sponsor Knight Frank terminating their contract a year early. It adds misery to a club who are cash-strapped, having posted losses of £950,000 in their 2021 accounts, and who have seen dwindling cash reserves. Remember, they're playing two Vitality Blast games at Chelmsford this year. The club announced they were to be sponsored by Castor, replacing Nike, but the Knight Frank blow, according to reports in the Mail, is said to be related to market conditions. The global property sales and letting firm signed a four-year deal with Middlesex, which was expected to run to the end of this season, but no more. We wish Middlesex all the best in trying to resolve that situation. Coming close to home at Essex, Daniel Sams returns to Chelmsford for the third successive season as an overseas player for the first eight games of the 2024 Vitality Blast. He was the Eagles' leading run scorer and wicket taker in last season's competition, and was named as the competition's most valuable player. Worth noting, though, that the contract he has signed is only for the first eight games of the Blast, so we just need to keep an eye on what happens there. Australia top order batter Cameron Bancroft has re-signed for Gloucestershire for the 2024 season. The 31-year-old has scored 446 runs in 10 tests for his country and has played in two Ashes series. Bancroft is the top scorer in the Sheffield Shield, which is Australia's domestic competition this winter, with 512 runs in six matches. He'll be able to play across all formats for Gloucestershire following previous spells in 2016 and 2017. Staying with Gloucestershire, they have signed another Aussie, all-rounder Beau Webster, for the 2024 season. A right-handed batter who bowls both right-arm medium and off-spin, Webster is eligible for the Vitality Blast campaign. The 30-year-old will also be able for Gloucestershire's county championship fixtures against Yorkshire and Glamorgan in June. Webster, if you're thinking that name is familiar to Essex fans, he played eight matches for Essex in the Metrobank One Day Cup last season. West Indies international fast bowler Kemal Roach will return to Surrey for the first seven matches of the 2024 County Championship season. The 35-year-old has been part of the team that has won the competition in the past two seasons, taking 25 wickets in their title defence last year. Roach has 396 wickets from 183 matches across all formats for his country. He will join up with his Surrey teammates for their first match against Lancashire in April. Bring a jumper, Kemal. All-rounder and former England under-19 captain George Balderson has signed a new contract with Lancashire to run to the end of the 2026 season. The 23-year-old academy graduate made his debut in 2020 and has played 54 games for the county in Red Bull and 50 over cricket. Balderson scored more than 700 runs in the county championship Division 1 last summer, including 200s, and he also took 23 wickets.
Phoenix FM.
And finally, well, worth noting this one down. England cricket returns to the old county ground in Brentwood on Friday the 19th of July. Write that down, Friday the 19th of July. Email events@brentwoodcricketclub.co.uk for full details. Hospitality packages are available, which includes a champagne reception, three-course lunch with complimentary wine, exclusive pre-match entertainment with tables hosted by a PCA England legend. You can also get priority access to the live and silent auctions. That's Friday the 19th of July at Brentwood Cricket Club. It's a great day out. I've been to a couple of those now. Some top players coming along and they were quite happy to mingle with supporters, sign autographs, have selfies, all the rest of it. And you might even see Paul Webb in his stripy blazer. He did the did the bingo last time I was there, and that was well worth turning up for. Okay, that's it for this week. I hope you've enjoyed the show. Make sure you tell your friends and spread the word. Coming up after me at the top of the hour, it's Mr. John Chubb with the Non-League Hour, playing us out tonight. This is Bad, Bad, Not Good. And this track is called Time Moves Slow. I'll catch you next Thursday at 6 o'clock for more 98 Not Out. Take care.
I found you at the window again, looking out, watching the leaves falling in. And you were something like a dream. Oh, so perfect, couldn't talk to me. Time moves slow when you're all alone. On your own, and the time moves slow when you're missing a friend, and the time moves slow when you get to the end. Running away is easy, it's the leaving that's hard. But what was I to do? Just couldn't help myself falling in love with you. And what could I say? Oh, if I had another chance to make you stay. Cause when you ran away, I knew just what you were thinking that day. You just didn't love me like I do, like I love you. The sad thing is we're better off this way. Time moves slow, you can't hear me.